chapter number 5. When you find it in the King James Bible, the Gospel according to St. Mark, stand with us. We'll read the Word of the Lord together, starting in chapter number 5 and verse number 25. Most of you, as soon as I said Mark 5, are familiar with this chapter of the Word of God. You're familiar that the first part of the chapter is the story of the maniac of Gadara. It's interesting how this passage and this progression transpires in this part of the Scripture. Chapter 4, Jesus said, we're going to the other side of the sea. We're going to the path to the other side. They get the storm, he calms the storm, they make it safely to the other side. When they land on the other side, there are several things the Lord wants to accomplish here. When he lands on the other side, he finds the maniac of Gadara, the man possessed with the demons. He casts the devils out of him into the herd of swine. 2,000 swine run down a steep place, choke themselves in the sea. Then the Scripture says, as a man comes to him and says, my daughter's sick to the death, and as Jesus is traveling to the man's house, Jairus' house, the story we're going to read this morning transpires. And after this story, they come to Jesus and say, it's too late, don't bother the master now, your daughter's dead. And he said, no, she's not dead, she only sleeps. And he goes and raises a girl from the grave. Now, how important was it that Jesus crossed the sea? And he crossed the sea, came all the way from one side to the other to change the lives of some individuals on the other side. I want to tell you, it is a picture of how the Lord Jesus came from earth, from glory to earth, in order, my friend, to change the lives of people just like me and you. He came with a purpose. There's a lot of storms along the way, but he came with a purpose, and he is accomplishing his purpose in the lives of believers who trust in him. Amen. Chapter 5 of Mark, verse number 25, the Word of God says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Didn't just look all over the place, but he looked around about to look right at her. He knew who it was touched him. And he looked around about to see her, he said. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now, I want to preach if the Lord will help me this morning on this woman with the issue of blood. And I want to talk to you about the real issue this morning. The real issue we find in the story, a passage that is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. And our text verses here in Mark chapter number 5. This woman had suffered for 12 long years with an issue of blood. It was a menstrual bleeding, and she could find no answer. She sought help everywhere she could, but could not find help or answers anywhere. And she only grew worse. And I want to preach, if God will help me, concerning this issue of blood, and on the real issue. Notice, first of all, friend, her disease. Her disease. In verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood at 12 years. She had a disease, and it was an issue of blood. Notice the likeness of her disease. It is an issue of blood. It's a type of the sinner. For his problem is not in his sins or in his habits or in his deeds. His problem is an issue of blood. His problem is in his blood. And you see, his blood is tainted with the sin nature that is passed on from Adam. And this is sure what you taught this morning in Sunday school is right. That we are sinners by nature and sinners by practice. Man is sinful, my friend, by birth and sinful by behavior. I mean, we're born in this. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. So, friend, we are sinners by nature. We have a nature that hates God. The flesh is at enmity with God. It does not seek after God. It does not seek after good. It seeks after wickedness and ungodliness. And we find that to be true in the Word of God. Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was very great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Psalm 53 and 3 said, and every one of them has gone back. They're all together become filthy. There's none
doeth good? No, not one. Proverbs 29, he asks a question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean and pure from my sin? Isaiah 53 and 6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray, turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 64 and 6 said, we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Romans 3 and 23 says, all is sin have come short of the glory of God. Amen, that's right. Romans chapter 7 and verse 24 said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We have a sin nature. 1 John 1 and 8 said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Our thing, our problem is a real issue. It's an issue of blood. Our real issue is an issue of blood. It's tainted blood. It's condemned blood. It's contaminated blood. Amen, that's right. And we're living with a contaminated flesh. The Apostle Paul said, I find this rule, every time I try to do good, evil is present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, my flesh is a killing me. I've been trying to do better and I can't do better. I've been trying to live right and I can't live right. I want to do better. I've tried to do better. But this flesh is a fight against me. I've got sinful tendencies in my life. I want to tell you something. You can't straighten yourself out. You can't fix your problems. You have a nature that is inherently evil. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, where's a miracle in your life? You'll die with issues in your blood. You'll die with an issue of blood. Amen. Unless the Lord works a miracle in your life. And so we find the likeness of her disease. Then I want you to notice the length of her disease. 12 long years she had suffered. It says she had suffered in verse 25, this issue of blood. 12 years. Can you imagine under God this sad situation? I mean, she had been in this sad shape a long time. Nobody could help her. Psalms 108, verse 12 said, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Some surely would have said this woman had been sick for so long that Jesus couldn't help her. She had been in this shape for so long that there was no hope. There's no use. You can't teach an old dog new things. I mean, she's just too far gone. She too long has been in this estate. Some would say that about a dirty rotten sinner too. But I'm glad, thank God, that there's hope in Jesus. Amen. Well, he's been in that state too long. He's gone too far, done too much. I mean, he's too far gone. But thank God. Now listen, right after that verse in this passage of Scripture where we see Cyrene, the very next verse says, father, yet spake there came a root of the synagogue's house which said, thy daughter is dead. Thy cousin saw the master any further. In other words, concerning the Jairus' his daughter, he said, Darius, your daughter's dead, and it's too late now. Some of them said it's too late in the first of this chapter. After that maniac of Gadara, but Jesus cast the devils out. Some of them said it's too late for Darius' daughter, but Jesus raised her from the dead. Some of them said it's too late. Woo! From a woman with the issue of blood. Well, but thank God she cursed for him this garment and was made whole. Somebody said it's too late for you. Somebody said it's too late for me. Somebody said it's too late for your lost loved ones. Woo! But the length of the disease does not hinder Jesus. I'm giving a cure. Thank God. There's hope in him. Woo! Bless your fine holy name. Some of you played with sin just about long enough that your mom and dad wondered whether or not you'd ever get in. Some of you went so deep that folks thought you'd lose your mind before you'd ever get convicted and get converted. Some of your friends gave up on you and said you're a lost cause. But aren't you glad the Lord didn't cast in the towel? Aren't you glad he kept the work and he kept the dealing? I mean, he didn't cut you off, but he kept conviction. He kept pleading. He kept pulling. And he kept calling you. Woo! I mean, had I gone to hell after the first time the Lord called me and I rejected, I'd be in hell today with my neck broke. But mercifully, he kept calling. Mercifully, he kept convicting. Mercifully, he kept pulling. Thankfully, people kept praying. And God worked to work in the issue of blood. Woo! The length of her disease, the length of her disease. Oh, she'd been in that shape a long time. In Luke chapter 13, verse 11, there's a woman bowed over for 18 years. So Jesus straightened her out. Amen. Thank God, you hadn't gone too far. John 5:25, there's a man at the pool of Bethesda lying for 38 years until Jesus came by. Oh, thank God. Acts 4:22 says that Aeneas had been dead and paralyzed 3 years. Until the power of God raised him from his sick bed. Mark 9:21, the lunatic had what would have seizures and be cast in the fire and all time cast in the water and trying to drown him. Had been in bad shape since he was but a child. Yet the Lord healed him. Oh, thank God. Oh, man, if you've been a sinner for a long time, if you've had problems for a long time, if your situation seems out of control, just know this. It's not going on too long. If God can't do something about it, but I'm God and He can work a miracle in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to His fine holy name. Bless the name of the Lord. Yet nobody, listen, hey, nobody's got saved too late. And ain't nobody ever been saved too soon. And so if it ain't too late today, if it ain't too soon, then the day will fall right in the middle of there somewhere. Amen. So now's the time to do business with the Lord. Your problem hadn't gone on too long. Your battle that you're fighting, your giant is too big for you to handle. It's not too big for God. That's not too far in. Somebody said, well, I've been living this way so long, been doing this way so long. It's not too late to change. I mean, there's help and hope to be found in the Lord. Do you not think the woman with the issue of blood wanted to change? Do you not think the cripple at the pool of affairs wanted to change? Do you not think that Aeneas wanted to get off of his sick bed? And do you not think that lunatic boy wanted to quit having them seizures and being cast in the fire and the water? Oh, yes. But they couldn't help themselves. And nobody else could help them. And their problem was incurable and insoluble. Oh, thank God there's a God in heaven that specializes in lost causes, that specializes in impossibilities, that specializes, my friend, where everybody else's abilities have in that. And it is not too late for the Master. It's not too late now. It's not too late now. It's not too late now. Oh, thank God. Matter of fact, if you want to drop back just a little more to chapter 4 of Mark, where it is that they're coming on this ship over there to the other side to find all these people that God needed to help. And the storm came. The disciples came to Jesus asleep on a pillow and said, Master, cast thou not that we perish. In other words, we're going to die, and that's all there is to it. I would like for you to help, but it's too late now. We're going to perish. We're going to die, and you don't even care. And they said, it's too late. That Jesus stood and rebuked the winds and the waves. And they drew near the shore. I tell you, it's not too late for the Master. Now, there'll come a time when it's too late to get saved. Amen. There'll come a time when it's too late. While opportunity is available, you better get right with God. Amen. The likeness of her disease, the length of her disease, and the loss of her disease. Notice as a result of this disease, she lost strength, she lost freedom, she lost self-respect. According to the book of Leviticus in chapter number 15, it tells us in verse 25, and if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, you see, during that time she would to be separated by herself for the days of her purification and cleansing, and if this issue of blood ran past the normal 7 days of that separation, then it says all the days of her issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. In other words, as long as this issue of blood continued, Brother Charles, she remained unclean. And as long as this issue of blood continued was 12 years, for 12 years she remained unclean. For 12 years she'd been unfit. For 12 years she'd been unable to participate in the things of God and the activities of her daily life.
life. It said if she laid down on the bed, that the bed is unclean. If she sat in a chair, that the chair was unclean. If she wore clothes, that the clothes were unclean. If she touched someone else, that they were unclean. Go down in verse number 27, and whosoever toucheth those things. If you touch the chair that she sat in, you're unclean. If you laid on the bed that she laid in, you're unclean. For 12 years, she'd been ostracized because she was unclean and everything she touched was unclean. She was an outcast like a leper. And the Bible says that whoso toucheth her shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then shall she number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. But until the time when she was purified of the issue of blood, she remained ceremoniously unclean and an outcast. That's right. I mean, she couldn't touch her own family without making them unclean. Ceremoniously. Every contact she had with anybody caused them to be unclean. Now, when it talks about unclean, there's a couple things that brings around. If you're considered unclean, whether it's for leprosy, the issue of blood, a number of different reasons you could be considered unclean, what that means by that is if you're considered unclean, that you are unfit to come into the house of worship. That you're unfit to be in the congregation of the people of God. That you're unfit at that time, my friend, to fellowship with the people of the Lord. I think that's where every lost condemned sinner is. They're unfit for the house of God. They're unfit for the congregation of God. They're unfit for the people of God. They're unfit for the fellowship of the saints. And for 12 long years should have been unfit. For 12 long years should have been set out away from the worship of God. But thank God for the day she met Jesus. Every one of us were unclean. Every one of us were unfit. Every one of us were unworthy. Now I can take you to a football field where I touched the hem of his garment in prayer. And he made me whole. And he made me put in the fellowship. And made me a part of his family. And my issues have been taken care of. And I'm clean because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. She couldn't enter the house of worship because she's unclean. All she touched became unclean. I want to tell you, when you're living in sin, it seems like everything you touch fall apart and become wicked. Things that start out right will end up wrong. When you've got good intentions, it'll be bad results. Amen? That's right. You're trying to do good, and it all turns out bad. You know why? Because you're unclean. You're unclean. Make New Year's resolutions to do better, and by January the 5th, you've already broken them. I mean, you make a decision that you're going to turn over a new leaf, and you come down to altar, and you weep crocodile tears, and you say, I'm going to do better, but you never get saved, and before the tires is cooled off on your car at the house when you get home, you've already reneged on the promises you made to the Lord. Am I the only one ever did this as a lost man? I don't think so. I am. I want to tell you, it's because we're unclean. It's because we're unfit. It's because we're unworthy. It'll take a miracle from God, what it'll take. Amen. She lived, and everything she touched was unclean. She lived in shame. She lived in shame. She was unfit to be in the presence of the people, and she knew she was. And she lived in shame. When she got around the people of God, she's ashamed. She lived in shame. Sin will bring shame. You ever been where you just really didn't want to see the preacher? Just really didn't want to see mom and dad? Just really didn't want church people to come down and visit? You ever been where they knocked on the door and you try to hide and act like you wasn't at home? You know why people do that? Shame. Shame. I'd go over to see Sonia before we got married, Brother Tony, go to bed. Some of it's called just tired, some of it's called shame. When I go over now, if he's in the bed, sometimes he'll get up out of the bed. That's right. No, there ain't no shame there no more. Used to, I'd go over and see him, and he wasn't real proud, smoked cigarettes, nothing around me. Everything he did, he was just worried. He was worried about what he was going to say, worried about what he was going to do. It made him nervous. Every time I could leave, I'd tell him to slam more down for being nervous. And now, man, we can go out to supper and go out to eat, have prayer, don't bother him a bit. Man, he loves it. I walk in, he's got his TV tray set in front of him, his Bible open. doing, and he's reading the Word of God and studying along and making his notes. As a matter of fact, if he calls the house, it ain't just to talk to Sonia. Sometimes he wants to talk to me once in a while. Now, I'm still a son-in-law, so I mean, all that ain't resolved, but once in a while, he wants to talk to me, wants to ask questions, and he's glad that, man, not only is he willing to listen, he's always been willing to listen to what I have to say about the Word of God, but now he's asking questions and wants to listen. You know why? There's no shame when you've been redeemed by the grace of God. I mean, there's no shame. Thank God. Every one of us who involves and condemned by the man you lived in shame. We lived in shame. But thank God all of our shame has been my friend crucified in Christ. And I died with Christ. And we live with Christ to walk in the newness of life. And living in Christ, we have no need to be ashamed. And hope maketh not ashamed. Amen. But she lived in shame and embarrassment. She was an outcast. You remember when you were a sinner? Brother Andy will testify to this. I've heard him testify to things the Lord's done in his life. Your buddies thought you was great, long as you was just drinking much as they did, or just doing the things that they did. But now when you got carried away, we don't want nothing else to do with you.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that the way it works? I mean, they'll start off, oh, I'll take a drink. I'll take have some of these pills. Or smoke some of this. Man, that's good stuff. And man, that's great, long as you're not doing any more than what they are. But there'll come a time that you'll have real issues, see. There'll come a time that you'll go too far to be acceptable any longer. I mean, there'll come a time that it'll just be too much. And they'll say, you know, he's fell off a deep end. We don't want to do him. They'll leave you sitting somewhere in a gutter all by yourself. They'll leave you in a bad shape. When you need them the most, they'll turn their back on you. When your money's run out, they'll be gone. When it is that you need help the most, they'll be gone. When you need a friend the most, they'll be gone. And you'll be an outcast, a living in shame. And your own sinner friends that tried to get you into this stuff to start with, they ready to throw you away.
Yes, sir.
You ever seen a junkie that had a real friend?
No.
You don't.
No.
They're friends that need one. The bottle or the pills or the marijuana.
Right.
Isn't that right? You ever seen anybody like that had a real friend? Go drive down the streets in Atlanta, downtown. How about up there on Ellis Street? Go down MLK, Ashby. Wait and see what you see on the side of the road. Do you see anybody got any buddies? They're doing what other folks are doing, but they're doing as much of it as other folks are doing. But you know why? They've got issues. And when you have issues, friend, in your blood, I'm talking about sin issues in your blood, you become an outcast. See, they're living in shame. They're living as outcasts. And the only hope that she's got is in Jesus. That's the only way. I mean, she's long been a sinner, long suffered as an outcast, long lived in shame. And sin will bring shame and separation. It'll make you unfit for worship. It'll make you unfit for your family. And so we see her disease. Now, let me give you two or three other things real quickly. I want to build on that disease. Now, I want to say, secondly, we see her desire. Her desire. I mean, she had a desire to be made whole. Somebody said she desired to see Jesus. No, she did not. She desired to be whole. I want to tell you, as a sinner, you didn't desire to see Jesus either. You just desired to change. You wanted something different. You wanted something more. Before you ever get to where you desire to see Jesus, you first have to get sick of the way you're living. You first have to desire to change. You first have to desire to be a different person. That is the seed of repentance. A desire to change is the seed of repentance. And when you have a desire to change from sin, now then you're going to look for answers. And all the while, Jesus will be standing by waiting for you to touch his garment. Amen. That's right. Her desire was to be made whole. Oh, thank God. May I say, and we see that in the fact that the Bible says in verse 26, after she had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all she had, and nothing was better, but rather grew worse. She desired to be made whole, but her first look was not to Jesus. She didn't say, man, I'm sick. I did what I need to do. I need to go down to church house and talk to the Lord. No, she said, I better go see the doctor. What I better do? I better go see that fellow down the road. That's what I better do.
I better talk to mom and dad and see what they think. I need to get some advice from the folks I work with and see what they have to say on the subject. And she suffered many things. In other words, she's put through a lot of pain, a lot of tests, and a lot of stress. I mean, the doctors tried every experiment that they had on her. And instead of helping, it only grew worse. And she only got worse and worse and worse. And the same thing will happen to you. Brother Eddie and Brother Andy and some of you other fellows driving trucks, you see a lot of different folks, a lot of strange people. I mean, there's some weirdos in truck stops, buddy. I mean, some real freaks. Creeps. 3:30 in the morning at a truck stop, that's the weirdest place on the face of the earth. You can see some strange people. But I want to tell you something about them strange people, Brother Charles. Every one of them has got an idea how to fix your problem. Ain't that right? They all know how to fix your problem. I mean, they've got an answer for everything in the world that's the matter with you. They don't have a clue what to do themselves, but they know everything's wrong with you and how to fix it. Your mother-in-law knows everything's wrong with you and how to fix it. Your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, your co-workers, they know everything's wrong with you and how to fix it. And whether you ask for their advice or not, they're going to give it. But you may be slam crazy if you take it. You listen to what I'm preaching? I mean, we've got such a tendency in this society when something goes wrong or when we've got a problem to seek out counsel of some kind. Marriage counselors have been 3 times divorced. That's right. A financial counselor has been twice bankrupt. Preachers are trying to tell you how to be spiritual, and they can't even stay married to their own wife. Oh, yes, that's right. I mean, everybody in the world wants to tell you how to fix all of your problems. And we've got such a tendency to go from one to another, from here to yonder, and from what was it, the Bible said, to run to and fro, seeking answers, and running to and fro, looking for light, looking for direction, but none was found. They're like blind men groping in the darkness. I tell you, we're looking for solutions. Where there is no solutions, looking for answers. Where there is no answers in all the while, it's right there in the Word of God, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. She trusted all the doctors, but they just made her worse. And Jesus did with one touch on the hem of his garment what they couldn't do in 12 years of doctrine. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the answers are not found in all this other stuff. It's found in the Lord. And it's the same thing, by the way, after you get saved. The same God that saves you is the same God that can keep you. The same God that saves you is the same God can solve your problems. The same God you called on when you're falsely condemned is the same God you need to call on when you're facing troubles. I mean, quit running to Chucky Schumer and all that bunch and Chucky Swindoll and my friend, all of the TV preachers and running my friend to Washington and to the Capitol Hill and looking for Hillary to fix your problems and my friend George Bush to fix your troubles. I'm telling you, friend, you better start seeking after God. Man does not have the answer. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, he that trusts in princes shall be ashamed. You better put your trust in the Lord. Her desire was to be made whole, but she tried everything in the whole world. But the only thing that can help your real issues is the Lord. One will prescribe education. If you just go to college, you'd have all the answers. But the more you learn, the more ignorant you realize you really are. Another one prescribes a change of environment. But it doesn't matter what the temperature is, your problems will remain the same. Another one prescribes maybe experimentation with drugs, alcohol, or promiscuity. But these things cannot satisfy you within. You see, you've got an issue of blood. You've got a heart problem. And only Dr. Jesus can fix it. Amen. Luke chapter 19, verse number 3, the Bible said Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. And do you know what soon as what he sought to see Jesus, Jesus came to the very tree where he was? That is not coincidence that Jesus came all the way across the sea to find one woman who had an issue of blood. All the while she thought she was seeking to see Jesus, and Jesus across the sea to find her. Yes, sir. You think you want the Lord to save you? He wants to save you much worse than you want to get saved. He has willed to die to save you. Amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 6, that the maniac of Gadara ran to where Jesus was. But he didn't know Jesus had come, had sailed through a storm to get where he was. Matthew chapter number 8, Jesus went into a mountain to pray, it says, and some lepers followed him. Said, if thou wilt, thou make me clean. He said, I will be thou clean. He didn't go there just to pray. He went there to do a work in the lives of some lepers. If the Lord's come by this morning, knocked on your heart's door, now is not the time to turn him away. Now's the time to let him in. Her desire was to be whole. If you want to get whole, if you want to be well, if you want to deal with your issues, you're going to have to get Jesus in your life. Her disease, her desire, her determination. Verse number 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. She was determined to do whatever it took to touch Jesus. When you get to where you want to touch Jesus more than you want anything else on earth, then he'll touch you. Amen. She touched his clothes, but her touch didn't mean much, but his touch did. You see, her touch, if she touched anything, that thing that she touched was supposed to be unclean. And anything, the thing that she touched becomes unclean. Is that not what we read a little while ago? Still, she touched Jesus, and it didn't make him unclean. It made her clean. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get to the place where you're ready to touch Jesus, that's when he'll touch you. Woo! She sought to touch him, but it was Jesus whose touch made the difference. Mark chapter 56 and verse 56, and in Mark 14 and 36, multitudes came to Christ, and as many as but touched the hem or the border of his garment, the Bible said, was made whole of whatsoever disease that they had. The hem is the last thing that you do on a garment. It denotes a finished product. When these ladies, which nobody hardly sews anymore, so when our grandmas used to sew, the last thing that they did to a garment was to put the hem on. When you put the hem on it, that meant it was done. It was finished. That phrase sounds mighty familiar to me, does it to you? I believe on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, it is finished. You know what he is doing? He's putting the hem on the redemptive work. Woo! Your sins cost you a high price. But if you can but touch the hem of his garment, if you can but touch the hem, the finished work of the Lord Jesus, and I faith touch him. Thank God. He'll finish up your sins. Wipe them away and pay the price. Are you determined to touch his hem? Touch him on him. There's help in him. There's help in his hem. There's help in his finished work. It's finished, he says. And looked up towards heaven and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. 3 days later, rose from the grave just as he promised. Hallelujah. He's alive forevermore. If you can just touch him, they say, if you can just touch him. Her determination. Her determination. If you never make contact with the finished work of Christ on the cross, you can get help for your real issues. Her declaration is found in verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, Jesus looked around and said, who did this? And looked right at her. That's what the scripture said, and he looked around about to see her. He looked around and said, hey, what touched me now? That's what the disciples thought he was doing. He said, who touched me? And looked right at her. He said, who touched me? And looked right at her. You know what he could have done, Brother Andy? He could have said, she touched me. But he didn't. Could have. He looked right at her. He could have said, it was her. What are you doing here? She touched me. He didn't do that. He said, who touched me? And looked around to see her. Why'd he do that? Same reason the Lord don't make you get saved, and don't make you witness, and don't make you tell nobody. All he does is do the work in your heart and wait to see what you'll tell. That woman come to Jesus, she thought, must have thought to herself, now listen, she's living in shame, she's living in misery, she's an outcast. She must have thought to herself, you know what, if I can just slip in quietly and touch the hem of his garment, and I'll crawl out from amongst that big crowd, I'm one little bitty person, nobody will ever know I was even here.
I'll get what I need from the Lord, and I can disappear, and I won't ever even tell nobody what's happened. I'll just act like everything's suddenly become okay. I'll keep my mouth shut, and I won't tell nobody. But soon as Jesus looked around and said, "Who touched me?" and looked at her, she came trembling before the Lord and told him all the truth. You know, the song said, "Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul. How he brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I could not hide such love as Jesus did impart." Thank God. The Bible said in the recollection of this story in the book of Luke that she thought herself to have been hid, but then she came trembling before the Lord. In other words, she thought, "I can hide what's taking place. I won't tell nobody I was even here." But when it happened to her, she said, "I can't hide it. I've got to tell the whole story, and I've got to tell it." You ever been there where you was lost and condemned? But by faith you touched the hem of his garment, and you couldn't stand it. You had to tell everybody what Jesus did for you and the work had brought about in your life. It's too much to hold him and to keep quiet. Hallelujah. Just got to tell somebody. I just got to tell somebody. Somebody said, "I've been saved, but I ain't told nobody." Your problem is you've never been blind. If you'd been blind, now you'd say you'd have to tell somebody. If you'd had an issue of blood, now you're pure, you'd have to tell somebody. If you're lame on both feet, and now you sit on the table of the king, eating my finger food from the king's table like Mephibosheth, you'd have to tell somebody. If you're possessed with devils and living in the tombs of deadness of this world, and a man come pulling up in the ship of Sion and cast all that out of you, put you seated cold in your eye, mind, defeated Jesus, you have to tell somebody. Woo! If you were a murderer and a persecutor of the church, but the Lord let you see the light and sent you to a street called Straight, you'd have to tell somebody. That what happened to the Apostle Paul. That maniac of Gadara, you know what the Bible said about him and Saul? After Jesus cast out the devils, Jesus said, "Don't go with me." He said, "You go back home and tell your family. Or tell your friends and show your family what great things the Lord's done for you." You know what he did? The Bible said he went back and published in all of the capitals what happened. That's 10 cities. He didn't just go back and tell his family and closest friends. He told everybody in 10 cities what the Lord done for him. You can't keep it quiet when you've done been with the Master. You don't come in contact with the God of the universe and not tell anybody. You've got to tell somebody. I mean, when I got saved, I just had to tell somebody. And I'm still telling them. And I still ain't ashamed. I mean, have you ever had your real issues taken care of? You got issues this morning? Finally, I'll say this and I'll close you. Come with a song. In verse 34, we find her direction. The Bible said, "He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Her direction. But Matthew, she came in fear, but she left in peace. That's not what happened to every lost sinner that's ever been saved. We came in fear, trembling before the Lord. Let every soul, man, work out his own soul salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. We came in fear, trembling, but we left in peace. She came in fear, but left in peace. She came in pain, but left in relief. I tell you, when I came before God with a burden of sin, I came in pain, but left in relief. How you spell relief? It's J-E-S-U-S. That's how you, it's not relief, it's Him. Jesus, that's where you'll find relief. She came diseased, but she left delivered. She came in shame, but she left in gratitude. She came unfit for worship, but she left worshiping in the beauty of holiness. Woo! She came unclean, but she left purified. She came lost, but she left found. I wonder about you. What's your direction today? How'd you come this morning to the house of God? You believe you can leave different than you came? Mark Twain once said that people do change, but not much. He said, people do change, but not much.
And in a natural sense, that would be so. Because we can't change ourselves much. And we surely can't change sufficient to satisfy God. But this morning, the Lord can touch your life and you can leave changed. Changed. You can go home a different way. Would you stand? You need to come to this. Lord, I'm done preaching. You got some issues you need to work out with the Lord? Some sin issues, some blood issues. You got some problems you need to get help with. Could you touch the hem of His garment today? If you're determined to touch Him, He'll touch you. Let's sing. What's your number?
44.
Come unto me, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you a rest. You need to come to the business of God, you come. Hear the blessed Savior calling thee, O Prince. Come to me. Bring me every burden. Bring me every care. Would you determine to touch the hem of His garment? Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come, trust my mind. Come, life is easy and life. That's sufficient. I'll not beg anybody to come to the altar. If the Holy Spirit's met with your heart, you'll have to act on Him, not on me. Well, I'm thankful the Lord touched me. Thank God that He touched me. I'm glad I know His touch. Glad I know His touch. Be much in prayer about the meetings continuing this day. Nursing home service, tune in on the radio this afternoon, 15 after 2. I know that'll be a blessing to you. Remember the meeting tonight, we'll pray at 15 till 6. Please be here if you can with us for prayer. We'll pray at 15 till 6. Meet tonight. You pray God's will be done in it. Wish somebody to do business with the Lord. That's all in my control. Let's pray the Lord's will be done in each one of us as we pass from this place, that the Lord might have His perfect work in our lives. Glorify His Son Jesus to us. With Eddie, if you would, let's please.